Sermon, Individual Cooperation. College View, Nebraska, April 17, 1909. Sermon, Mrs. E. G. White, Seventh-day Adventist, College View Church. Cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgressions, and the house of Jacob their sins. Yet they seek me daily, and delight to know my ways, as a nation that did righteousness, and forsook not the ordinance of their God. They seek of me the ordinances of justice. They take delight in approaching to God. Wherefore have we fasted, say they, and thou seest not? Wherefore have we afflicted our soul, and thou takest no knowledge? Isaiah 58, verse 1 to 3. This people is represented as complaining to the Lord. The Lord, in his answer to their complaints, reveals that he understands where the defect lies, that the trouble is with themselves. He presents to them his side of the picture, declaring what should be the work of every soul who claims to be a follower of him. They have no need to spread sackcloth and ashes under them. They have a higher work than this, a work to do for God and for humanity, that the world may have the light given to the people of God. Behold, God declares, in the day of your fast ye find pleasure, and exact all your labors. Behold, ye fast for strife and debate, and to smite with the fist of wickedness. Ye shall not fast as ye do this day, to make your voice to be heard on high. Is it such a fast that I have chosen? A day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head as a bulrush, and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Wilt thou call this a fast, and an acceptable day to the Lord? Is not this the fast that I have chosen, to loose the bands of wickedness, and to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, and that ye break every yoke? Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house, when thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh? Then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thine health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee. The glory of the Lord shall be thy reward. Verses 3-8. The message is given to every church in our land that claims to be giving the truth for this time to the world. We praise God's holy name that the glory of the Lord is promised as the reward of all who engage in his service, to those who deal their bread to the hungry, and who bring the poor that are cast out to their house. We should thank God constantly that he has made so plain the work he would have us do. When we feel like complaining, let us look to ourselves and see if we are not neglecting some duty. Let us see if we are not leaving undone some work that God requires us to do. We cannot afford to misrepresent the truth before the world and before the Lord. Let us remember that we are his workmen, laborers together with him. It is he who has put this work into the hands of his church on earth. The Lord wants those who are his servants to prove him. Then shalt thou call, he says, and the Lord shall answer. Thou shalt cry, and he shall say, Here I am. Here I am waiting to give you the blessing, ready to impart to all who seek. If thou take away from the midst of thee the yoke, the putting forth of the finger, and speaking vanity, and if thou draw out thy soul to the hungry, and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light rise in obscurity, and thy darkness be as the noonday. And the Lord shall guide thee continually, and satisfy thy soul in drought, and make fat thy bones. And thou shalt be like a watered garden, and like a spring of water, whose waters fail not. Verses 9-11. The Lord is speaking of spiritual life, of the spirituality of the church, which is marked by the world. We need the inspiration that comes from earnestly seeking God, that He may give us a sense of the greatness of the work, and may open our hearts and minds to understand the responsibilities resting upon the Church of God in these last days. We cannot afford to neglect any duty that devolves upon those who are preparing for the courts of God. Fathers and mothers, there is a work for you to do. You have a school established here, but you are not to leave the burden of the training of your children with the teachers of the school. It is your privilege and duty to link right up with them by carrying forward this work of Christian education in your homes. Fathers and mothers need to be wide awake, that their spiritual life may not decline. There is an eternity before us. The youth are to graduate from their schools in this world to the school above. If we are found worthy, Christ will open to us the gates of the city of God, inviting fathers and mothers and children to enter in, so that parents may not be separated from their children, or children from their parents.
Every family that finds entrance to the city of God will have been faithful workers in their earthly homes, fulfilling the responsibilities that Christ has laid upon them. There Christ, the heavenly teacher, will lead his people to the tree of life that grows on either side of the river of life, and he will explain to them the truths they could not in this life understand. In that future life, his people will gain the higher education in its completeness. Those who enter the city of God will have the golden crowns placed upon their heads. That will be a joyful scene that none of us can afford to miss. We shall cast our crowns at the feet of Jesus, and again, we will give him the glory and praise his holy name. Angels will unite in the songs of triumph. Touching their golden harps, they will fill all heaven with rich music and songs to the Lamb. Fathers and mothers are to educate their children to obedience, teaching them to keep the law of the Lord, which is perfect, converting the soul. This is a most important work. If you neglect this work because your time and attention are given to the world, you will defeat the purpose the Lord has for the youth in preparing them for the service of God at home and in foreign fields. We are not in this schoolwork to make money. We are here to give the youth a well-balanced education. To this end, they must educate their muscles as well as their minds for service. The physical powers should be brought into exercise, that the brain powers may not be overtaxed. We want this school to stand forth as an example in every way. These buildings should be perfect in their equipment. I thank God that you have this school. Do not allow your teachers to be overworked, but help them in the advancement of their work. I thought we should ask Sister Peck to connect with our new conference school in California, but I cannot do this, for I see that she has a work to do here. Will you not help her in this work? And will you not secure other teachers also, who will make a business of educating the students in a knowledge of the Scriptures? This company here in College View has been presented to me again and again, and I have been shown that the converting power of God must come into your midst, or you will dishonor God. You may have a large school, but if you would have its work a success, you must cooperate with the Lord and with one another. For months before I began this journey, I would find myself night after night sitting up in my bed, pleading with large companies of people for a reconsecration to God. I am pained at heart as scenes of neglect are presented before me. Shall we not now arouse to an understanding of what the Lord demands of us? Unless we do faithfully the work that God has given us, we can have no place in His kingdom. Our great need is pure and undefiled religion. Fathers and mothers, wake up. You may have in the school those who minister the word of God to the students, but you must cooperate with these teachers by carrying out in the home life the teachings of the Bible. If you will study earnestly to know the will of God, you will find encouragement to do the work that God has laid upon you. If you will do your duty, the God of heaven will act his part. Parents who leave to the school the work of making Christians of their children will meet with terrible loss. The youth need the righteous influence of their parents in every word and action, in all their conversation and habits. As long as they are in the world, they are to be trained to obey the word of God, and thus prepare for a place in the city of God. It is the privilege of parents to take their children with them to the gates of the city of God, saying, "I have tried to instruct my children to love the Lord, to do his will, and to glorify him." To such, the gate will be thrown open, and parents and children will enter in. But all cannot enter. Some are left outside with their children, whose characters have not been transformed by submission to the will of God. A hand is raised, and the words are spoken. "You have neglected home duties. You have failed to do the work that would have fitted the soul for a home in heaven. You cannot enter. The gates are closed to the children because they have not learned to do the will of God, and to parents because they have neglected the responsibilities resting upon them.
Let us instruct our children in the teachings of the Word. If you will call, the Lord will answer you. He will say, 'Here I am. What would you have me do for you?' Heaven is linked with earth, that every soul may be enabled to fulfill his mission. The Lord loves these children. He wants them brought up with an understanding of their high calling. While you send them to school, give them every advantage at home. Train them to obedience and kindness and love. This is the grand work that God wants you to do as his instrumentalities. Speak kindly. Never let a rash spirit lead you to speak rash words. Never use the rod until you know there is no other course to pursue. By love, tenderly instruct them, and a teachable spirit will come upon them. The God of Israel has his eye upon this people and on the work at this place. We ask you in the name of Jesus of Nazareth to take up your appointed work and do it. If you will let him, God will come down and cooperate with you. Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee." Isaiah 60, verse 1. Let us think of his love, and talk of his glory, and sing of his power. God, help us to have our hearts uplifted to the glory of God and to the praise of his name. Behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall rise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. Lift up thine eyes round about and see. All they gather themselves together, they come to thee. Thy sons shall come from far, and thy daughters shall be nursed at thy side. Then thou shalt see, and flow together, and thine heart shall fear and be enlarged, because the abundance of the sea shall be converted unto thee. The forces of the Gentiles shall come unto thee. Therefore thy gates shall be open continually. They shall not be shut day nor night, that men may bring unto thee the forces of the Gentiles, and that their kings may be brought. For the nation and kingdom that shall not serve thee shall perish. Yea, those nations shall be utterly wasted. Verses 2-5, 11-12. We have a work to do for missions right in our midst. There are people here, as well as in foreign countries, who need to be instructed. Let us study these chapters in Isaiah that speak of the things that will be accomplished when we realize that the glory of God is resting upon us, and that the light of heaven is shining through us to the world. We cannot afford to miss one opportunity of working for the salvation of souls, one opportunity of explaining the truths of the Word to others. Those who do their duty in this matter will reap a rich reward in the kingdom of God. In heaven, souls whom you have tried to instruct and help, and to whom you have given the light of the Sabbath truth, will fall upon your neck and say, "It was your presentation of the truth that cleared from my mind the mists and fog." They will join you in the song of thanksgiving that they are saved in the kingdom of God, that they have a right to enter through the gates of the city and have right to the tree of life. Who, I ask you, will live for heaven? Who will here make a covenant with God by sacrifice? Who will resolve to take hold of the work and carry it intelligently? My brethren and sisters, I ask you in the name of the Lord to take hold of this work as you have never yet taken hold of it. How many will today pledge themselves to obey all the truth, to be diligent and thorough, co-workers with Jesus Christ? We are engaged in a great and grand work. Will you not train your voices to speak kindly? Will you not be tender and trustful, and to bear with others as God bears with you? If we lose heaven, we lose everything, and none of us can afford to do this. The soul is of much more worth than all the worldly advantages you can obtain. Let us come together and humble our hearts before God. Let us take steps heavenward that we never yet have taken. Let us work with God. Angels will be near to help us as we devote ourselves to the work. Let us sense the responsibilities that rest upon us as a people and carry them intelligently, that the salvation of God may be revealed among us. If we will do this, the light of God will come upon us and shine through us in a way that we have never yet experienced it.